Welcome to SAGE's second National Conference on Aging, held May 5th and 6th, 2000, in New York City. The session is about to begin.
But the spirit of the games is so wonderful, the spirit of inclusion, that an athlete is somebody who puts himself out as an athlete. Well, I do that. I put in the hard work. I put myself out. You know, I'll give you what I've got. You know, I'm not in Kusty Yamaguchi's league. I'm not in Brian Boitano's league. But I'm an athlete in my way, in the broader definition of athlete that really is behind the spirit of the gay game. It's such a special thing. The opportunity to do this is really, it's wonderful for me as an athlete, on top of which, as a lesbian, to be able to integrate those parts of myself and to be able to experience that collectively with 11, 12, 13,000 other athletes, doing this in, you know, out of pride in our community, it's a celebration like nothing else I could have imagined. I'm so thrilled to be a part of it.
She had never held a camera before, and she did such a beautiful job with this. I think you did an incredible job with this. And Joyce didn't tell me that I had to speak today until last night, so I don't have really anything to say, but I'll be glad to answer any questions if you have them. This was never what I expected to be remembered for in my activism.
This is more
skating is the last thing I expected to be remembered for. My work has been all in gay parenting, and you know, I do skating because it's an opportunity to explore the shallow side of me and to explore the trivial. Anyway, I'll be glad to answer any questions if you have.
How do you feel you integrate the two?
Integrate which two? For one thing, I think, you know, we're always doing that when we're out. And being out in a skating rink, which is a fairly homophobic place, because there are children involved and because the whole atmosphere of skating is, it's kind of a conservative sport. It's very gender role driven. The girls wear little skirts and the guys have to do manly things as much as they can on figure skates. I think just being out there as a lesbian and as a lesbian parent is a kind of activism that, you know, we all do in our ways.
But did you do this skating as an out lesbian?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, at the gay games. But also, I have always been out at the rink where I skate. No, the ones that were here in New York. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm very envious because I always think I will get to the gay games, but I've been in the senior games now for about 7 or 8 years, and that's really, you know, you have to really keep your lesbianism down there.
Mm-hmm.
But I participated, of course, there's a lot of dykes there, participated in basketball and won a bronze medal in badminton this last year in the National Junior Games in Orlando.
What was wonderful for me about the gay games is that the athletes who could participate were not defined as those who qualified for it or those who were the best. There was an opportunity for people at absolutely every level to compete. And in skating, there were people who hadn't been skating but, you know, a really short time. But if they wanted to put themselves out there as an athlete, there was a place for them to do that. And that for me was an amazing experience, because in the, you know, when I was growing up, girls didn't. There were no girl sports in my high school, as far as I knew. There were a couple of strange girls who played sports, but there was no encouragement for girls to play sports. It wasn't done. I see it's entirely different for the kids today. But this was also an era where we didn't even dance. I mean, I came of age in the 60s, I was a teenager in the early mid-60s. We didn't even dance then. You know, we were cool. We grooved on the music. I mean, we could bob our heads up and down. But there was nothing we did with full body stuff except go to bed with men. It was lacking something for me in terms of being a whole person with a body. I think it was impossible to grow up during those times without coming out of it with bad feelings about your body. And, you know, when I see that commercial on TV where the little girls say, if you let me play sports, have you seen that? It makes me cry every time. So if you let me play sports, I'll be 23% less likely to get pregnant. I'll be, you know, as a teenager, I'll be so many percent less likely to be abused. It just always makes me cry because, I didn't get to sports until I was in my 40s, but it feels like it has that kind of healing effect to be able to do that. Yes, I do, actually. It feels much easier. I mean, it feels much easier to be heavy in the gay community. It feels like it's a less judgmental place. That doesn't mean that it's without judgment. And, you know, I mean, the larger culture pervades everything, ultimately. But yes, it does feel easier.
I participated in the same gay games I was a tennis player, and I discovered there.
Mm-hmm.
I did it to challenge myself at 60, so I joined the singles, the doubles, and the mixed doubles.
Oof.
And the women I played with were 50 the day before.
Oh.
Okay, you have to be 50 and above. But the men's group, the men had more of a delineation in age. They had the 60 and above. So I was playing against women who were 10 years younger than I was. And so I saw that there was ageism related to how it was set up.
Mm-hmm.
And the other aspect of it is I play tennis. I live in Brooklyn, and I'm retired. So it's very hard to find retired lesbians who play tennis. So that my
thousands
who are left-handed. So I'm playing with straight women of my age, and they know who Connie is in my life. I immediately come out to whoever is new, the men I play with, the women I play with, and I think even it's a sport, and I can be out with them and educate them and stop them from their remarks that they may forget, to be the expert for them quietly when they come over after and say, you know, my niece is having trouble with her mother because she's a lesbian and there's a problem there, can you help me? So I think it's a good way to be active, and that's why I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out because I have a mission.
Mm-hmm.
I have a mission to make it easier for the younger.
Yeah, I know you do a lot of other activism, but I think that that is, you know, in some ways, our most effective activism.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Go on to the next. I just want to say also that April was out in the Training Institute for Psychologists at a time where that could be the end of your career. So that's another piece of activism.
You've been together since 73?
1374.
Listen to this. They're suing the New York City Board of Education for a million clams. Let me see now who's with who. Ruth works for the Board of Education.
Yes.
True? City of New York.
I'm a guidance counselor at Chief Bay High School.
If you work for the Board of Education, your husband gets Medical and dental?
Yeah.
And they're not giving it to them. They're what?
They're not married.
But I just...
I cannot get married. This society, this state, will not accept my going through a ceremony with Ruth.
You know, I think there should be such a thing as a gay month.
We have it here too. What do you think?
What do I think? Well, first of all, there's more and more gays being mugged. I think it's caused a lot of hatred. I think it's caused a lot of resentment.
You mean the publicity?
Absolutely.
If you're gay, just kind of, don't be so, you know.
Don't.
It's the prancing around makes you angry.
I want a white woman German month club or something like that. Of this particular audience has to take full responsibility, as I have to take responsibility, why there is such a thing as setting aside a gay and lesbian month is because we are forced to literally say we're here and we are standing tall and you better recognize us. I am not invisible. And it is your creation that has created the
month. In Philadelphia, if this were done in Philadelphia, it would cost tax dollars. My taxes should
not
be spent.
What would cost tax dollars?
How about the Mummers Parade? Does that cost you money?
No, that's an independent thing.
You don't have to pay for the cleanup or the municipal...
Sure, but we all love it.
Why would the kids... you want parades for what you love. I don't think you don't go for this at all.
But I know. What anybody else does is fine with me.
But no parade.
As long as we don't have parades. I don't care whether you parade, but I don't want my tax dollars.
What are you reading?
Why not? I don't want to be a prejudiced oppression, and if we're talking about, that's what we're talking about, differences.
What I'm saying is that it would be better off
to accept it.
If we kept our mouths shut. You really are manifesting a prejudice against these people. You are. You are telling them to shut up. Now this,
nobody's
yes,
gonna shut me up because silence is the why I upset you so much because I make love to her.
We feel live and let live, that's fine. My question
no,
is
you don't think live and let live. Laws are against me, we can't get married, they gotta go make a commitment, I can't have dental and medical. Hey, you know, don't say live and let live. I refuse to keep quiet.
Me. Surely. Ruthie and I are best friends of 40 years, and in 2 weeks we will have a knocked out, dragged out party because we will have been lovers of 25 years. We have between us 5 adult children and we have 15 grandchildren. Now the fact that all our adult children are married, we cannot be faulted for everything. So please, you have to forgive us for not being perfect parents. Our activism didn't only start when we were in fact lovers. Our activism started way back when we needed a traffic light because the kids needed to cross Cropsey Avenue. We needed a school, so we marched on City Hall. So our activism has been in our lives a very, very long time. Talk to us now. Do you want to ask a question? Do you need clarity? Because Ruthie and I certainly can talk for 15 minutes. My orgasm is probably longer than that.
She's right. She's really right.
You know.
What was the most salient thing that you did as far as getting the domestic partnership passed?
Tell me the word. Would that be
salient?
Tell me the word.
The thing that you feel it was the most important thing that got that to happen.
I named me a lesbian. I wore it. I embraced it. I gave it honor. And so that when the gay teachers called us up, because Lucy was at that time an employee,
I think
you want from me?
The salient part was our being out. That was very important because the other two couples were not out. We were not the only ones who were participated. No, they didn't go on any TV shows. They didn't, Ron was out, but his lover wasn't out,
okay,
Ron Madsen. And the couple, the young female couple, they had a little boy. They didn't want to be out. They've since been, they're out. But I think it was being out and sort of shushing us up because I with due respect to the lawyers in the room, is Paula here?
Yes.
Paula was on the case, right? She was on the case. And we knew that we had no patience. I have no patience for what's right. And so we would push them. And I think that I acted as if I was a very angry woman on television. That was very important. So I think that had a big effect. And that this was right. This was discrimination. It was a right thing, and maybe it came at the right time, and politically it was right. And so we did get the domestic partnership came first, and then the domestic partnership benefits for teachers is what we went out for, but we got it for all city employees because they, and Paula, if you want to share,
no.
They got together behind the scenes and put the whatever money they were complaining about and everything else. I want to answer to something that you may not have a question about, but how did I get the nerve to say you're upset because I make love to her? Okay, I will tell you why. We were on Geraldo before that, and I recognized that I, although sitting, and there was only an audience there, that there was an audience of millions of people outside. When I was on the Donahue show, I said, I am not going to allow them to speak. The others have had a voice for too many years. They have to know that as a lesbian, I make love. That's what they are so upset about, that I had to put it in their face. I wasn't afraid because I was out. Prior to that, when I first came together with Connie and we were married women, I was in a closet where when we left our apartment, she had to walk in front of me. We would meet at bus stops so we could say, hello, how are you, and kiss and hug. I was an insane, closeted person until I realized it made me physically ill. I developed an illness, and I won't let that happen to me again.
Okay. I just wanted to put out a fact. The domestic partnership is an outstanding thing that we have. And, Chris and I have each other on our benefits. But I don't know if everybody is aware of the
but,
fact that if you're,
say the
a,
but.
City, if you're a city employee, yeah. Which I am, and Chris, my partner, is on my benefits, I get charged
you
at
pay
the
taxes.
End of the year $4,500. Actually, it's added onto my income, and I have to pay tax on
federal
that
tax.
For the right for her to have DHI.
It is a tremendous, right, it is a tremendous but, and we were advised, again, that gratefulness, that state of whatever they give you, be grateful. Mm-hmm. First of all, they talk about $1 million. Forget $1 million. There was no $1 million. That was the ploy to, well, but we give you this, then you give us back this, so. But we do, Ruthie does pay taxes on it. This is why, politically, the marriage issue is the thing that now I carry on about. Do I need to marry Ruthie? No. Politically, do I have to? Financially?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yes, that's a wonderful point.
How old were you when you started the case?
years, the case started in 1988. 88, 12 years ago, I was 51 years old. And
how old was
53.
I?
53. Ruthie was 53. I'm the bookkeeper of the family. So.
I just wanted to ask, what happened after that woman was so indignant on the Phil Donahue show? I mean, did they keep saying things to you afterwards? Or did, you know, what did Phil do? Because obviously...
No. No. They ended it. The audience, although sounds as if that was on their side when they said they wanted a German thing, they were really laughing. The audience was very much on our side. What did happen to that woman was a very interesting story. A friend of ours, her brother was in a hospital in Philadelphia with AIDS. She was on the same floor with breast cancer. So you never know spiritually what happens to people. And... what I would like to say about being political, I realize that when I came out as a lesbian, my life was no longer private. Because I do not have my full civil rights, I must be political. And we're not talking about Democrat or Republican. We are talking about speaking out, coming out. It is extraordinarily important. Because those people, and that's the only time that I know is Stonewall. That's the only experience that I have of the political with Stonewall. The people that some of us, maybe in this room, have disdain for when they're marching in June were the ones who made it happen for us. We owe it to them to come out. We owe it to ourselves because this is an age conference for people to know that there are lesbians who still fuck and they're 60 and more.
Yeah. Talk to us.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hello. Chelsea. I just wanted to know, I know before that, I think, we had, it was at Firehouse at DLB.
Firehouse.
CAA or LSO was going to go on David Prescott. We had six fights with that. No, you can't look like that. If you go on,
Chelsea, yes.
How did
yes,
you manage to
okay,
get
let
on
me,
there
let me just say,
long hair and makeup?
All right, Chelsea, the people that approached me, Connie, you look so good, were the lesbian and gay community. It was not the straight community that questioned what I wore or what I didn't wear. That they felt pride in how I looked was the lesbian and gay community. So they were more embarrassed or ashamed or needed to put their, you know, their best foot forward. But this is why Ruthie and I always applaud those that came before us. We're on their, you know, we've made it because of them's.
You know, when you talk about those that came before us and give emphasis to Stonewall, certainly Stonewall was important, but you can't deny, maybe this is stupid to say, but you can't deny the tremendous significance of the lesbian feminist movement. Which,
without a question.
Which put lesbianism on the map.
Without a question. Ruthie and I are talking about that 1975 when Ruthie and I came out, when Ruthie and I went to the Duchess and there was one woman down the bar down there somewhere. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when it opened up and Ruthie says, go talk to her. You know, I mean, that we're only giving you from whence we come. We went to the firehouse. We were the lesbian task force of New York State now. We speak a great deal. We do, at CW Post, we do a week's graduate course on lesbian and gay issues. This has been going on for years. Ruthie and I opened up a counseling center in our home in 1983, and for 13 years, the women came, whoever that woman was. She was the lesbian woman, she was the not lesbian woman, and under one roof, we talked about issues, whatever those issues were, and that went on for 13 years. So that's the fact that Ruthie and I moved to Marine Park when we were told by our lesbian community, what are you moving to Marine Park?
well, you don't have no children. What do you need a house for? The neighbors, they'll never give you a mortgage. That did not happen. Now, it didn't happen because it's Ruthie and Connie, or it didn't happen. Or is it from where we were coming from, our attitude, how we, I don't know. But we did not have those issues. Our neighbors will be in the documentary as well. You know, so come, go ahead.
Somebody, go ahead. One of the questions in the conference was about political correctness and, you know, proper appearance and proper clothing, et cetera. And, the, you know, the current movement is really plagued by a lot of conflicts between groups. And I wonder if you have experience like that at, in that time, or do you have any thoughts about...
The thought I have is the woman that will not ask me to dance because at that day she thinks I'm butch. So she goes to Ruthie because she thinks she's femme that day. But the following Saturday she'll ask me because that day I'd look femme. No, so I'm not being facetious. I'm being upfront. There is issues. The simplicity of dancing with another woman needs to be, you need to be a certain style. And from... I come from only 1975. What went beyond that, and Joan will be probably the authority on that, there was that dress code. There was that butch femme. I don't say no. I don't say no. But part of what I also have learned is from my feminism that as we are attempting to give men the opportunity to have a consciousness, then lesbians are attempting to give consciousness to other women as well. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on. We've all been conditioned to be the opposite sex.
We'll get into this more after we go through all of them. Thank you. Did you want to say something about also the availability of the film?
Well,
you have flyers.
Right. You're very kind. We have information about the documentary. And if anybody would like, just pass it around. And if you've received it, then certainly.
But if you haven't, just pass it around to those that haven't received it. How kind of you. Thank you, Joyce.
Set.
These are exhibits that go out all over. This one is sent to Italy. But it may be hard to believe now because gender play and gender recreation is so much at the center of our culture, some of our cultures now. But when the archives started, it was a very problematic thing to include in our collective memory the stories of butch femme women. And remember, that's one of the things that I was ticketed for back in 1982. The memories of S&M women, for instance, Samoa, and of lesbian sex workers. In other words, women or lesbians or people of sexual difference who didn't fit into a certain kind of history that some women felt was the history we should have to go into the future with. And so, that was something that I was particularly concerned with, since I'm a femme woman coming out of the butch femme tradition, going back, I would say, in my case, from, I was born in 1940s, but from the 50s and 60s. And so we have tried very consciously, and we tried before it's become as sort of in the air as it is now, to document what we call passing women, now perhaps transgendered women, or transgendered men, as part of our collection. And I think that, and here, and these are some of the images. Here is the article about Billy Tipton, who I showed you the record album. But I think the deeper message here, for me, it was very personal, because this was the community that taught me how to be a woman,
And this was the community where I learned to love, where I learned to risk everything, just to be with these women. And so I couldn't participate in an archive that had amnesia about my own background. And I think the point I'm trying to make there is too, that I don't really, I never believe in a role model history. I don't believe the present can ever sift through its own artifacts and decide what is respectable enough or clean enough to serve as memory. And we must always have different generations working on this task of collecting our memories, because things are changing so quickly and it's so easy. And we should also have much representation of difference, both racial and economic, and because we tend to forget other people's memories. Sometimes we make choices not to remember them. And so that, for me now, is the deeper thing. I knew I wouldn't commit myself to this work unless I could preserve it. Remember, these are the women, many of whom, who didn't come into feminism. They didn't survive long enough to come into feminism. And then when they did, they were not welcomed in the early days of lesbian feminism. So, in a way, perhaps, as I've shown you, the archive, what makes it the dearest thing to me? Is that it's a place for my own personal commemoration, like Carol and the women from the sea colony. Little did they know, and they helped this little femme woman, you know, make her way to the bathroom with my hands on my breast. There was so much touching going on. Or when I stood on the bathroom line and got my allotted amount of toilet paper. Or when I walked in the streets at 3 o'clock in the morning as a young femme woman, something that women were not supposed to do. You know, I didn't know that I was storing this all up to find a home for these experiences. And so, there's a part of me that can really rest easy now, because the butch femme community will never be forgotten again, and it will never be stereotyped as it was. But every generation will bring its challenges of not for us to be rigid in how we remember or how we, what we give value to in other people's lives.
In some statements. So if I could just read them quick. Just one thing I want to say. When I listen to everyone I speak, or not, you know, the women that I love and a part of my community, but I represent another part of our communities. I don't have children. I was never married. I see myself as from the freak tradition, from the criminalized tradition. And I just want to say, without lesbian feminism, I never would have done any of the work I did. It was lesbian feminism that taught me that I could champion those same identities that I had been so shamed by. So in me, they come together. But now I also look to the future, and I want to raise some issues about activism. I want to expand the agenda, what I would say, for marriage in the military discussion. So this is what I wrote. I was part of an orientation at the center. A lot of people that had never been in the gay community before. And I wanted to give them a sense of what a lesbian, I'll be 60 this month, does. So I wrote this. A week in the life of a 60-year-old lesbian. Saturday afternoon, welcoming and giving a tour of the Lesbian Herstory Archives in Brooklyn to the 15 members of the Daughters of the Moon, a Latina lesbian group. On Sunday, demonstrating in front of the United Nations against the police killing of Amadou Diallo and all other acts of police brutality. On Monday night, taking part in an erotic reading at Blue Stockings, where I was by far the oldest person, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful to see Women Books Reborn, those of you remember, to see a younger generation just doing the things that we had needed to do for ourselves, and they're doing for themselves, but not alone, because we'll be there. The Women's Bookstore on the Lower East Side. On Wednesday, preparing bibliographies on the subject of gay marriage and the pornography debates debates based on the archived subject files for use on our website. On Thursday, seeing the lesbian actors Peggy Shaw, Lois Weaver, and Stacy Makishi in their performance piece, The Salad of the Bad Cafe. And then I go on. And the other piece that I just want to read, I was asked to speak at GLID, and this will be my political. I guess what I want to say is that I would like the form my activism to take now is to complex things, to question ourselves. I'm not going to read anymore. I'm just going to talk. To question what we give up when we move from a margin to a center in whatever way, like the recent March on Washington. To question the trade-offs, to question what it means when we feel safer but others don't feel safe. I would like to see from now on in my activism to be marked by resistance and subverting assumed answers, our own assumed answers. Like, I'm involved in doing an anthology with three transgendered people, and for me to understand their struggle and how it relates to us and how, in a way, our lack of future vision made their struggle necessary when we didn't include them in our earlier agendas. I don't know if I'm being too coherent, but I love postmodernism, my form of it, because it keeps me questioning. It makes nothing is sure. And that's so I would like my activism to be, we all have our work to do. And mine, I would like to keep raising issues of gender, keep raising issues of flagrant sexuality. I just wrote a new piece called Taking Rita Hayworth in My Mouth, in which I talk about being a 60-year-old woman enacting a femme fantasy with my femme lover now, going down on her as a way, really, to make love to my mother. I've said it, make love to my mother and explode shame. I mean, it's a metaphor. Anyway, I don't know if any of this is making sense. But I don't want being 60 to be safe. I don't want to be part of the safe sea of women, which is a popular book. I want us to keep complexing things. It's so easy now to say, oh, okay, we did it and we know what the answers are. We don't know what the answers are. And that's good, because if we don't know what the answers are, it means there's always room for new questions. That's what I want to say.
Questions? We have time for about three.
I just wanted to say I'm so glad to hear you say that, because this whole thing about gay marriage, I mean, I am all for domestic partners having the same rights. I mean, rights to pensions and rights to hospitalization and all sorts of health care benefits and everything. But I don't know. I'm so ambivalent about the whole concept of actually legalizing, getting involved with the United States law and getting married. You know, that I mean, I'm really afraid to mention, to tell you the truth, afraid to mention my views any longer, because everyone is so going in so much in the other direction. So I'm very happy to hear what you say, and if you'd like to say more about it, I'd be more than happy to hear.
I think Connie and Ruth touch on this. There is something we do have in a politics, what I call a politics of deprivation, which is when you're ruled out of societal benefits for so long, you're so grateful for what they give you that sometimes we suspend critical thinking. Now, I want to make an analogy that will sound strange, but, you know, around the world, and well, I'll say in Western countries, marriage is a declining institution. Fewer and fewer people are doing it. Well, you should think, why are they beginning to think we can do it? It's because it's eroding. So the only analogy I can make is, and this may be shocking, but you know when the Nestle, which is not my family, the Nestle company developed a baby formula that they wouldn't use in this country. So they sold it to what we, at the time, developing countries. Well, I see marriage like that. Straight people don't want it anymore. I mean, the marriage rate is lower than it's ever been in Western countries. So now, but we have been so kept from it. So again, I mean, it is very tempting. I know I have cancer. I know what it means not to have societal benefits. So all I'm saying, and it's only those of us who feel comfortable doing this. Like nobody, not everybody feels comfortable taking their clothes off. I look at Dale, not because she takes her clothes off, but because she made, because of her sexual courage. Those of us who can do the things that shake up different portions of these assumptions, that's the wonderful thing. So I'm not connected to marriage, so you know I can ask questions. But I do say, let's be careful about acting out of emotional places of loss. Because in a way, in a strange way, even though we think we're getting something, we're ruling out possibilities for others. And maybe we're just extending the little cage they put us in. But to really change things, don't I sound like a lesbian feminist? I have news, I always was. I just wanted my body to be there too.
Could you stay here, and the other people who participate, you get a chance now. The other people who whose clips were shown, come up front, if you would, and we'll just have an open discussion.
I just wanted to say that I think it's really important what Joan has done in all these years, and that every journal that I have, and I have journaled now for only 12 years, has in the front of it, at my death, this should go to the Lesbian History Archive, so that my voice is not silenced, so that every woman in here still has a voice, so that people know what we're doing now, and we don't have to reinvent a wheel. And it's so threatened, because it's so threatening. So that's just what I want to say.
I just want to reassure everyone, you know, my mortality is, it will be there, you know, and all the fullness of our stories, as well as the conflicts and the celebrations, will be there in the fullest discussion possible, because we control that discussion.
Well, one of the things that has been unpopular, of course, in the lesbian community, along with butch femmes, is lesbians changing. And actually, the reason I'm here is to talk to you about giving you tapes and a dissertation about women who have been married to men and then have relationships with women. That will be a book soon. So, and that's another one that it's not popular research, because what I've said was that sexuality is mutable.
We had this conversation in the hallway, but I want to raise it in the bigger forum, and that is that butch femme is a very much a piece of our history. Absolutely. But is also very much a piece of our present. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the literature that I've been reading for my dissertation has spoke to the fact that lesbian feminism in the 80s really made butch femme identity, not necessarily role-playing, which could be another issue, but identity, put that back in the closet. And I'm just wondering what your perspective on butch femme identity in the present, and how does that play itself out in lesbian feminism?
That's a huge question. I hesitate now because I'm my own member. I'm self-educated in this. I never took a course when Judith Butler was on the reading list of Foucault. But that I hesitate with the word identity, because everything is so fluid in many ways. But being here is incredibly healing to me, because I see faces in this room. I mean, we have overlapping histories, and we're all pushing our little shtick within those histories. I think, in a way, things are happening with gender and sexuality that are far beyond what I envisioned in terms, for instance, of transitionings and of different... I think what's going on now, I think there's a great freedom to explore, and then also to claim as identity. Do you know what I mean? I mean, for some it will be fluid, and for others, for instance, the transgender women that I'm working with say, if I hadn't made the transition, I would have died. Now that for me, or being this way is my destiny, I don't deal in destinies anymore. I don't want destinies for myself. I want open-endedness. But that's my choice for my history. So I think it's a very exciting time, because I think instead of being butch femme becoming a political issue, now what we can say, as a community of great divergence of how we present ourselves in terms of gender and sexuality, we will concentrate on maybe the World Bank. That would
To continue with this presentation, please turn your cassette over now and play from this point without rewinding.